Welcome to installment 242 of Sefer Mitzvahs from the Rambam. In today's portion, we will have two commandments. We will conclude our discussion of positive commandment 109, and thereby our discussion of the laws of Tara from the Rambam, which this commandment involves the laws of a mikveh, the purification as a result of immersion in a ritual pool. We will also begin the Rambam's discussion of the financial laws. In Positive Commandment 237, the law of damages which are caused by an ox or similar sort of damage. Positive Commandment 109 has been the subject of our conversation the last few days. This is the law of mikveh. In concluding the section of Sefer Tara, laws involving ritual purity, the Rambam tells us that it is a positive commandment that anyone who needs to be purified from any of these tamei conditions must immerse themselves in a mikveh, which has certain qualifications. And the Rambam quotes the verse in Leviticus chapter 15, verse 16, V'rochat b'mayim es kol b'sorei. A person should wash his entire body in water. And the Rambam tells us that this does not only mean to convey the idea that the entire body must be immersed, but rather comes to teach you another law, that a mikveh needs a certain amount. In other words, as kol b'sorei, all of the body, an amount of water which will cover the entire body simultaneously. As the sages have estimated this to be the size of 1 cubit by 1 cubit, and 3 cubits high, as we mentioned, over 700 liters. The Rambam mentions, however, that should it be mayim chayim, fresh well water or spring water, in this case the mikveh does not need a certain amount, as long as the entire body is covered. As if, for example, a child or a small person, then should it be fresh spring water, then also the mikveh would be kosher. And as we mentioned, this is a minority opinion, and the halachic opinion is, the halachic conclusion is that even in cases where well water is used, nevertheless, 40 saw, or this measurement we mentioned previously, must be sustained. Mayim chayim, however, well or spring water, is absolutely necessary for one form of purification. As the Rambam mentions that a zov needs mayim chayim. As we mentioned also involving this law of a zov, a man with an unusual flux or issue coming from his body. What kind of mitzvah is the commandment of mikveh? It is not a commandment necessarily that a person must go, as the Rambam compares it, quoting the Sifra, to the mitzvah of tzitzit and maikah. And mikveh is different. The law is that if one wishes to wear a four-cornered garment, he is required to put tzitzit on it. Should one own a house which has a roof, one is required to put a maikah, a fence around the roof to protect people. One might think that if a person is tameh, impure, there is a requirement to immerse in the mikveh. But the Rambam tells us this is not true. Should the person desire to stay in the tamedic estate and not purify themselves, the person has this choice. When does the positive commandment of mikveh then come into play? When the person wishes to behave like a pure person, having the privileges or the range of behaviors which are allowed only to a person who is tahor, then the person must previously immerse in a mikveh which satisfies all the requirements of this positive commandment. This idea of immersion is only one aspect of this positive commandment, and the Rambam mentions two others. One is the idea of tvul yom, or head of shemesh, that even after one of the forms, a person who is suffering from one of the forms of tumah, has immersed, nevertheless they are not 100% pure and do not resume their previous state. Even after the immersion, they must wait until nightfall, which is the final conclusion of their purification period. Before that before nightfall has come, the person is a tvul yain. Another general area is the law of chatita, or the idea that the water must come in contact with every spot on the person's body and hair. As the pasuk stated, kol mesorei, the entire flesh, which comes to teach us that should anything be stuck to the body, and even if two parts of the body are stuck together, for example, a hair wound around itself, then the immersion was invalid, since the water has not reached that part of the body which was covered over. Therefore, this positive commandment includes all three areas: the law of the mikveh itself, the law of chatita, ensuring that the water reaches all parts of the body, and the law of tvul yain, that afterwards the person must wait for the proper period. This idea of tvul yain, of course, does not apply to today's tvilas, the immersion of a woman after her period of nida, since in her case she waits until the conclusion of the time period and immerses herself only at night, rather than during the day, as was done for the other types of impurity. The details are found in the tractate Mikvois and Tvul Yayim. With positive commandment 237, we begin the laws involving Hilchos Nezikin, the laws of monetary damages. In this commandment, the Rambam tells us, is the law governing a sheir, literally an ox, as explicated in the book of Exodus, chapter 21, verse 28. The laws are given governing an ox which gores a human being and kills a human. And further on, in the same chapter, verse 35, begins the section where an ox has gored and damaged another ox. This positive commandment involves how much the person who owns the ox which has damaged another object or another person, how much the owner of the ox must pay, and what happens to the ox. The Rambam tells us in Moreh Nevuchim, his guide for the perplexed, that these laws in general come to teach us that a person is responsible not only for their own direct damage, but a person is required to guard all of his property, that one might think that the animal has its own will, and therefore the owner cannot be punished for the damage it does. However, the Rambam tells us, these laws tell us the opposite, that a person is required to look over and control his property, and the animal is part of his property, and therefore he bears responsibility for any damage which it causes. In general, we learn that an animal can cause three types of damage. One is called keren, literally the horn, when an ox gores. A second is known as shein, literally tooth, those things that the animal eats, for example, damaging someone's field by eating up the food in it. And the third is regel, or foot, damage which the animal causes by trampling in a field. Today's commandment, as explained by the Chinuch, involves the first of these three only, the idea of keren, the damage an ox causes by goring. The other two will be discussed in tomorrow's commandment, positive commandment 240, God willing. What is different from this, the law of keren, an ox's goring, as opposed to the other two? The difference is whether this is something which could be expected from the animal. To put an animal in the field is automatically expecting it to eat. And allowing an animal to walk through a field is as if we're saying automatically that the animal will trample. This is something referred to as mu'ad. Mu'ad kebatchila. That this is something that by nature we would expect the animal to do. But that an ox should gore someone, this is something which is unexpected. This is not the natural behavior of an ox. And therefore we differentiate. This that the animal could be expected to do, the owner is required to bear full responsibility. But should the ox gore without warning, then the owner only has to pay half of the damage which was caused. As explained, when an ox gores another ox, we see how much the ox which was killed was originally worth, see how much the carcass could be sold for now, and whatever difference there is known as the damage. We take this damage and divide it in half, and half of it must be paid by the owner of the damaging ox. This is known as chati nezek. However, should this ox become known as a damaging ox, that which is proven by the ox having done such an act 3 days on three separate days, then the ox is muad for keren, that it is assumed that by the nature of this ox that it will damage another ox. And therefore it must be assumed that just like another animal is expected to eat, then this animal is expected to gore. And in such a case, should it damage another animal, then the owner of the damaging animal must pay full price, nezek sholem, the full value of the animal which was killed. The Rambam mentions that there are five animals that are always assumed to be muad. That the law of sher ox only speaks of a common case, but this law applies to any type of animal. However, these five animals are exceptions, and even the first time they damage, the owner is already required to bear full financial responsibility. These five are a ze'ev, or a wolf, an ari, a lion, a dave, a bear, a nomer, a leper, and a bardalos, commonly translated as a panther. And the Rambam adds a sixth, a snake, even should it be a tame snake, and someone's pet, is assumed to be muad. And the first time it causes damage, also will cause its owner to bear full financial responsibility. What is the case when the animal gores a human being and kills the human being? The verse says, Sokel yisokel hasher, you should stone the ox, kill the ox by stoning. And not only that, v'lo yeyochel es psorei, and one is forbidden from eating the flesh, the animal must be killed. And the owner can get no benefit whatsoever, is not even allowed to sell the carcass of this animal. As the Rambam explains in Moreh Nevuchim again, that this is to impress upon the owner the importance of guarding his animal. That if the owner knows that his animal could possibly damage another, he will be very, very careful to ensure that it doesn't, knowing that if the animal should come and kill a human being, God forbid, then he will not only bear the responsibility for that human's death, but in addition, he will lose all of the financial value of this ox. What happens should the ox be moored that 3 times it is killed, and as the Rambam explains in his legal code, that it has not been killed after these first 3 times? Either it has killed someone that it does not bear the death penalty, so to speak, that the ox does not deserve to be killed, or that the ox killed 3 people and has simply not been caught yet. And after the 4th person, the ox is caught. In that case, not only is the ox stoned, but the verse says, "Vagam ba'olav yumas," literally, and the owners will also die. But the Rambam explains in his legal code that this does not mean that we put the owner to death, but rather he bears responsibility. A heavenly death penalty is put upon him, and that he will die bidei shamayim, by Hashem's hand. However, he has the possibility, in kefer yushas alav, that he is required to pay an atonement value, so to speak. The person must pay money, and pay monetary damages for the family of the person who was killed. And this will be an atonement for the person, the Torah tells us. And this will nullify the heavenly death penalty which he deserves. Thank you for tuning into the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvos. For more information or to sponsor one of the installments, contact Sichas in English at area code 718-778-5436. That's 7-